Hi there, this is Mary DeMuth, and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse. We are in Genesis chapter 34 of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB, and this is what it said. Dinah, Leah's daughter, whom she bore to Jacob, went out to see some of the young women of the area. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, a prince of the region, saw her, he took her and raped her. He became infatuated with Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young girl and spoke tenderly to her. "Get me this girl as a wife," he told his father Hamor. Jacob heard that Shechem had defiled his daughter Dinah, but since his sons were with his livestock in the field, he remained silent until they returned. Meanwhile, Shechem's father Hamor came to speak with Jacob. Jacob's sons returned from the field when they heard about the incident and were deeply grieved and angry. For Shechem had committed an outrage against Israel by raping Jacob's daughter. Such a thing should not be done. Hamor said to Jacob's sons, "My son Shechem is strongly attracted to your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us. Take our daughters for yourselves. Live with us. The land is before you. Settle here and move about and acquire property in it." Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Grant me this favor and I'll give you whatever you say. Demand of me a high compensation and gift. I'll give you whatever you ask me. Just give the girl to be my wife." But Jacob's sons answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully because he had defiled their sister Dinah. "We cannot do this thing," they said to them. "Giving our sister to an uncircumcised man is a disgrace to us. We will agree with you only on this condition. If all your males are circumcised as we are, then we will give you our daughters. Take your daughters for ourselves, live with you, and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go." Their words seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man did not delay doing this because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. Now he was the most important in all his father's house. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city and spoke to the men there. "These men are peaceful toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and move about in it. For indeed, the region is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as our wives and give our daughters to them. But the men will agree to live with us and be one people only on this condition, if all our men are circumcised as they are. Won't their livestock, their possessions, and all their animals become ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will live with us." All the able-bodied men listened to Hamor and his son Shechem, and all the able-bodied men were circumcised. On the third day, when they were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords, went into the unsuspecting city, and killed every male. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with their swords, took Dinah from Shechem's house, and went away. Jacob's other sons came to the slaughter and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, cattle, donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. They captured all their possessions, children, and wives, and plundered everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me, making me odious to the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites and the Perizzites. We are few in number. If they unite against me and attack me, and my household will be destroyed." But they answered, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? Mind if I pray for you?" Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm sad that this story is in the Bible, but I'm also really grateful that it is very stark, and it talks about what happens when sexual violence happens. And we see in scripture that every time, I think when I did my study last year, it was almost every time or every time there was a rape in the Bible, there was violence that followed. And it just shows just how powerfully terrible this crime is against people who are perpetrated against. And so I pray for my listeners today who may have that in their story. And of course, I have it in mine as well, as many of my listeners know. I pray for light. I pray for healing. I pray for justice. And Lord, I know, at least in my own case, justice was not done, and I've had to learn how to live without it. But Lord, we do know that there will be a new heavens and a new earth where every tear will be wiped away, and justice will prevail, and all the wrongs will be righted, and all the rights will be perfectly committed by you. And so I'm just so grateful for that, because in this world, we will have trouble. And Lord, I pray for the one who may feel like she or he is never going to get rid of the story. It's always going to follow them like a bad disease for the rest of their lives. But it's not true. You will bring light. You will bring healing. And I pray that even in the darkest spots of that healing, even when it feels like they're not going to get to the other end, the truth is, Lord, that you will bring healing, and you are broken by what has broken us. And you on the cross not only bore our sins, but you bore our griefs and our sorrows. And you also bore the sins that were committed against us. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for being that empathetic Savior who understands what it's like to be stripped naked, to be violated. And so, Lord, we just thank you for being that compassionate Savior. And just be kind to us, and I know you are, but I know that this journey can be really painful, this healing journey. And so I just pray that you would just give special grace to my friend listening today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I have a special thing for you, especially if you have endured a sexual abuse. You can go to wetoo.org. If you can stick with me a little bit longer, is there's a girl who lives in Colombia who's a Pray Everyday listener, and she has been really helped by these 21 days because she's ministering to people who are broken by sexual abuse. And so she has translated one of the letters into Spanish, and I want to share it with you. It's an audio file. So just keep listening. And if you have someone who speaks Spanish who has a sexual abuse story, you can pass this on to them. This is one of those days, one of the letters that you'll receive. So here she is.
Pues mi pueblo ha cometido dos maldades. Me ha abandonado a mí, la fuente de agua viva, y ha cavado para sí cisternas rotas que jamás pueden retener el agua. Jeremías 2:13. ¿Sabías que nuestras heridas abiertas son la entrada principal que Satanás usa para atacarnos? Nuestra propia tendencia a llenar ese enorme vacío continuará llevándonos a situaciones más y más oscuras a medida que nos aferramos a una búsqueda de importancia. Se forman obsesiones, escondernos se convierte en nuestra forma de vida, surgen adicciones, y si no tratamos esas deficiencias con sinceridad y en la luz, la oscuridad de Satanás será nuestro destino. Y en esa oscuridad comenzaremos a creer terribles mentiras como las siguientes. Te mereces todo el dolor que te presente. No puedes experimentar verdadera victoria en la vida cristiana. Nunca vas a cambiar. Nunca experimentarás la verdadera alegría. No eres nadie, eres insignificante. Todo lo que puedes hacer es luchar bien o no tan bien en esta vida. ¿Has tenido pensamientos como esos? ¿Alguna vez has sentido el poder punzante de las mentiras que suenan tanto a la verdad que las devoras? ¿Has intentado llenar una herida con personas? ¿Con adicciones? ¿Con dinero? ¿Con poder? ¿Con orgullo? Piensa en esto. Primera de Juan 2:16 dice: pues el mundo solo ofrece un intenso deseo por el placer físico, un deseo insaciable por todo lo que vemos y por el orgullo de nuestros logros y posesiones. Nada de eso proviene del Padre, sino que viene del mundo. ¿Y quién es el que está merodeando y acechando temporalmente en este mundo? Satanás. Primera de Juan 5:8 dice: estén alerta, cuídense de su gran enemigo el diablo, porque anda al acecho como un león rugiente, buscando a quien devorar. Satanás nos devora de adentro hacia afuera, al convencernos de que algo en este mundo finalmente llenará nuestros corazones. Y sin embargo, nada lo hará. Y por esta razón, el primer paso para conquistar las mentiras y las trampas de Satanás es llenar ese enorme vacío con lo que realmente satisface. Al hablarle a la nación de Israel, Dios también destaca nuestra propia tendencia a llenar el vacío. En nuestra propia herida, buscamos llenar ese vacío con nuestra propia agua, en lugar de llenarlo con el agua viva. ¿Y qué es el agua? Pueden ser otras personas, cosas, experiencias, placer. Y momentáneamente, nuestro vacío se llena, pero solo para que todo se filtre nuevamente. Creemos que, de alguna manera, en nuestro propio esfuerzo, podemos curarnos a nosotros mismos, arreglarnos a nosotros mismos y recomponer nuestro ser quebrantado. Pero no podemos. Nunca. Por eso estamos cansados. Hoy elige llenar tu necesidad, tu dolor y tu vida con la fuente de agua viva. Solo Jesús te puede satisfacer verdadera y completamente. Jesús, te pido que me llenes por completo. Cura mis heridas. Sana mis dolencias. Te entrego mi corazón y mi vida hoy. Amén.